All right. So you guys, I haven't done one of these in a while. What's up? Obviously, this is Date Fails. You know that. I am in Reno, Nevada, playing the Laugh Factory. Actually, having a great time. I'm here with my friend, Renee Garcia, who you guys know.
Hey.
Renee, I think you have the best laugh of anyone I've ever met in my life.
You know what? Somebody told me this, and I take this as a complete compliment. Somebody goes, other than Lee Syatt, like, you have one of the most distinct laughs that I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, Lee Syatt? I was like, dude, I was like, I take that as a total complete compliment.
Yeah, for people.
Because you know and I know that Lee has one of the most amazing laughs ever.
Oh my God. If you don't know Lee Syatt, because not everybody who listens to my podcast knows the Church of What's Happening Now, which is Joey Diaz's podcast,
right,
which is so great. I like Joey's podcast because it's different every time.
Absolutely.
Like sometimes he has, it's like hilarious. Sometimes it's more like real life shit. You never know what they're going to talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
But Lee is his producer. And yeah, Lee has one of those laughs, like people make compilations of it because it's so ridiculous. But so
it's
do
so
you.
Hilarious. I know. And it's not that we're doing it on purpose. It's who we are, because you guys, such as yourself, Kate Quigley, Joey Diaz, you make us feel so comfortable in our own skin and person that our laugh is our laugh.
You know what? That's just a chemistry thing, because
totally.
Like when you think about the people you love hanging out with the most, I don't know about you, I love hanging out with the people that not only make me laugh, which is huge, but also like there's certain people I don't ever feel funny around, ever. I could hang out with them forever.
Right.
And I'm always like trying to kind of have chemistry with them or be funny, and I'm just not.
Right.
Even people I think are hilarious, like great comedians, I'll try to like jive with or have on the podcast and it doesn't work, but there's something about you from jump that we just like clicked and we get each other,
right? Because we have great energy, and I love good energy, and I feed off great energy, and I know Lee does the same thing, and because all of us know each other, and that's what I love, and that's why I take it as a complete compliment when people say, God dang, dude, like your energy is just so awesome and your laugh is like Lee Syatt. And I'm like, Lee Syatt? I'm like, dude, that guy's he's phenomenal, bro.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He really is. And
but have a great energy.
Thank you. Thank you very
much.
You're
very warm.
Thank you. And I'm glad to be here on this podcast with you. Thank you so much, Kate.
Your energy is almost so good that I think you're high like when you're completely sober. Like you'll show up somewhere and you'll be so happy and energetic and laughing. And I'm like, is he drunk? Is he high? What is he on? And everyone's no, that's just Renee. Like the first time I met you, I was like, what is this guy on? They're like, life.
Dude, you know what? And that's what's crazy, Kate, because people like would ask me like, dude, like what kind of coffee do you drink? Like do you just drink black coffee? And I go, I don't even drink coffee. Like I hate coffee. And that's the thing. I don't drink coffee. I hate coffee. I love the way it smells. I love the way it's brewed, but I can't drink it. Kate, I cannot drink it.
It's just like Lee Syatt with eating ass.
Yes.
Except he doesn't love the way it smells. he likes the look of it. He likes the idea of it.
Exactly.
But he
can't
eat it.
That's so fucking true.
Anyway, all right. So here's the deal, guys. If we sound a little buzzed, I'll be honest. First of all, we're in Reno. It's about 1:30 in the morning.
Yep.
We are buzzed, which I have to say, and you can vouch, Renee, I have been almost completely sober for, not completely sober, like I'll have a drink in my hand, but, you know, I'll nurse one drink for a whole night lately. I'm not really smoking a lot of weed. I'm not partying. I think it's No Dick November is part of it.
Well, I remember you brought that up when we first got here in Reno, and that was about like 3 days ago, and I told you like how boring you fucking were.
Fuck
and
you,
I
dude.
Yeah, right. But I didn't. No. But I didn't mean any.
I think you said calm.
Well, I said calm, but in my own fucking head, I was like, this bitch is boring.
I got here. No, wait. This is actually true. I got here and I told you and Cam, who is hosting for us, Cam Awesome.
Right.
I said, you know, lately I'm chill. I'm relaxed. I don't feel anxious. There's no guy I'm texting with. Like I'm just happy and I'm productive. And Cam was like, who's dicking you down?
Exactly.
That's what he said. And I go, no one. And he goes, tell the truth. I'm like, no one. It's No Dick November.
Right?
But no one believes me. But it's honestly, like, I've been avoiding partying and drinking, one, because I know that I'll dip into some like past
exactly
dick that I shouldn't, you know, dip into. And also, I really have been just, the more productive you get, the more addicted you get to work. And
exactly.
So
that's exactly it. But which is all the more reason why we went out tonight.
Yeah.
We hang loose.
Yes.
And we did karaoke tonight.
Yes, you guys. So the reason we hopped on, I don't like to podcast buzzed anymore. I've been really trying to avoid it to be professional. So I want to say, normally I would not advise a buzzed podcast. However, right. Renee and I went out tonight and we ran into some situations that I'm like, if we don't podcast about this now, we might not talk about it. And
yeah,
we have
because
to.
This was like so raw and this was like so real, Kate. And me and you had a disagreement on this.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you lead into this because it's your show.
Well, thanks. It's your show too tonight.
No.
All right. Well, first of all, I will say we went to see the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, the other night, which I feel like kind of leads into this because if you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody, I suggest anyone who's an artist or any kind of creative person, 100% you need to go see the movie. You can't leave uninspired. Like, literally, we left, and since then, all we've talked about is, like, we got to be more creative. Let's push boundaries. Like, in the movie, basically, the band, everything someone tells them they can't do, they're like, no, that's our vision. We don't give a fuck about your money. We'll just leave. Have a nice life. And they just trust their guts, which is why they became the huge sensation that they are. But the reason that has to do with tonight is because ever since we saw the Queen movie, me and Renee are like the biggest loser. We're such nerds. Every minute that we've been in Reno that we're not on stage, we're like in my hotel room watching Live Aid on YouTube, singing along to like U2 songs and fucking Billy Idol. Who else was there? David Bowie.
David Bowie, Elton John. I mean, there was so many. Now, here's the thing that I got to tell your listeners too is that I'm a lot older than you are.
No, you're not.
Well, I mean,
what are you, like 5-6 years older than me? Seven?
No,
I don't know.
Well, you
10?
Know what?
Whatever.
I take
who
that
knows?
As a compliment, but yes, I'm 44 years old.
Okay.
So I remember Live Aid when it first came on, and then it was followed up by Farm Aid, and they had all these awesome artist. But the thing was, is that I remember watching it, and the thing about it was, Kate, was that it was so powerful that when we went and watched the movie, we were so caught up into how the band itself, I'm talking about the way the movie portrayed
the band,
that it didn't matter what anybody told you. You stick to what you believe in. So that is what I agree with you for the most part, that as we saw Queen being portrayed, it doesn't matter what critics say, you stick to your guns, you stick to your gut, and don't worry about the critics. You do you.
Yeah.
So and that is what it made it seem like Queen was. Now I know everybody has their own opinion about whether you saw the movie or not. Or whether you grew up in that era or not. I grew up in that era because I'm an 80s kid. I'm an 80s kid.
Yeah.
And I'm an 80s head. But there was a lot of songs that Queen came out with that I didn't even know at the time Queen made. That was what so was crazy about it, Kate. I was like,
you mean watching the movie, Queen? You didn't realize some of those songs were Queen?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
The song Another One Bites the Dust.
You didn't know?
Kate, I had no idea that was Queen.
Oh, that's awesome.
All I heard was boom, 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 boom. I swear I thought it was a black group.
I was like,
who is this? I was like, wait a minute. And I'm thinking of, and I'm going through a Rolodex of black bands that I know of. And I'm thinking, well, who is this?
You mean back then or when you watched the movie?
No, back then.
Oh, okay.
Yes, in the 80s. So I'm sitting there thinking about it and I'm going, who the hell is this?
That's what's so cool about that band. All their music sounds so different. Like,
right?
Like, every, I feel like there's so many songs. Like, literally, Bohemian Rhapsody. Tonight we went to karaoke, and when the song came on again, like, someone sang it. Obviously, it wasn't as good as Queen
right,
doing it.
Yes.
But even, like, watching in the bar, everybody in the bar starts singing along, and, like, when the opera portion comes on, mm-hmm. I literally thought to myself, like, it is so insane that a rock band was like, no, we're doing opera. And then they did it, and it fucking, and every critic was like, this song is bullshit. This song sucks. Opera doesn't belong in rock. It makes no sense. And look, everybody in the bar, like, it's like such an anthem. I mean, it's giving me chills. But I know for me personally, like, earlier in my stand-up career especially, and this isn't just about artists, really, it could be any entrepreneur or anyone that's trying to, like, follow some vision. People used to tell me, like, hey, don't post sexy stuff. People won't think you're a real comic. Or, you know, people used to say, one guy told me, don't do so many dating jokes. Like, you need to learn to do jokes that aren't about dating, whatever. Which, now I do. But I remember at the time being like, this is what I'm going through. This is what I resonate with. This is what I'm passionate about talking about right now. And I used to analyze so much what everyone would tell me to do. And I think the secret to being a huge success is to ignore all the outside voices. Like, when I look at the yep. hugest artists I respect so much, like Queen is one, but like Eminem is one, or even like a Joan Rivers, or mm-hmm. people that were like, fuck you guys, I'm talking about what I want. I'm going to rap even though I'm a white kid. Like, those are the people that are icons, really.
Oh, yeah, totally.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So I think when me and you went to go watch that movie the other night, I think that really kind of just opened up a different era of yours and mine together. Because I remember aww. Us talking about it, and I was like, God, man, I remember watching that, and I was like, holy smokes. I was like, what band wants to follow that?
Oh, yeah, right?
I was like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, even if I was Bruce Springsteen or Elton John, I would have been like, Queen just murdered that.
Also,
I don't want to follow that.
Like, their self-confidence, too.
Right?
Like, dude, like, I mean, some of the movie's a little inaccurate, but I actually was reading about the differences. This is hilarious. And if they put it in the movie, they would have probably made Freddie Mercury kind of look like a dick at the beginning, which is why they didn't.
Right,
but
I'm
like,
sure.
It's actually not true. So if you see the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, they make it look like the singer of the band before it was called Queen quits the band, and then Freddie Mercury comes up to the guys in an alley and is like, I want to mm-hmm. be in the band, and sings for them. But in real life, they said that he would go to the concerts of this band, and he would yell at the singer from the audience.
He would heckle the original singer.
Yeah, and he would be like, I could do a better job. You need to connect with the audience more, and whatever. The point is just, don't be an asshole, but at the same time, like, he just fucking believed in himself so much, there was nothing that could stand in his way, which really was, I'm so inspired.
I know. You know, the funny thing, Kate, is that I remember as a kid watching Freddie Mercury in the 80s, and I was like, this guy is such a awesome front man for a band that I looked upon him as just somebody who you idolize. Now, I couldn't sing. I didn't play an instrument. I didn't even really think that I was going to do comedy at the time. I mean, I'm going from junior high to high school at this time, Kate. So, but when you see somebody like that and you go, holy smokes, who is this guy? Before you even knew what gay was, before you even understood what being homosexual is, you just go, whatever the fuck he is, this guy can sing.
No, that's what's fucking
like,
crazy. I was thinking the same thing. Like guys that love rock and roll fucking
yes.
love Queen, which are not usually guys
yes.
that are like
yes.
necessarily super, you know, open to like the gay community. I mean, especially back then.
Exactly.
But it's amazing.
But this is why I tell people, I go, you know what? If you put out a good product, no matter what it is, and especially in the sense of Queen, they're putting out good music. I didn't care what the name of the band was. They could have been called the Fags. They could have been called the Homosexuals. I didn't give a shit. They put out good music, and I was going to buy the album. You understand what I'm...
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, they're amazing. But, okay, so I'm glad that you brought up the gay topic, because this leads us into the real reason that we hopped on. I love that we just talked about Bohemian Rhapsody for 15 minutes. Okay, so first of all, I have to say that No Dick November has been great for me, but at the same time, on this trip, I started to get a little like, it's not even about sex, just I'm not even like really flirting with anyone right now. So anyone that's, okay, like there's one guy I have a little mini crush on online guy, who I don't think I'm going to date because I'm a fan. And the last time I dated someone I was a fan of, we know what happened. Rod Stewart blew up in my face. It went bad. It wasn't really Rod Stewart, but you know.
Thank God.
The Rod Stewart wizard guy. So, but I've been like such a like dork because I've been looking through my Instagram likes and stuff to see if this guy's like liking my photos, and he is, which is making me feel like a teenage girl. Like I get like, Renee knows I've been like literally like scanning my Instagram. Like, is he looking? Is he liking it?
You know, and I told you not to look, but you did.
I probably shouldn't go out with
him. You're a chick, but
whatever. All right. So anyway, that's literally the only person even remotely in my realm of guys I'm interested in right now, and I'm not going to go out with them. So there's no one. So we're here in Reno, and I'm just assuming that No Dick November will end and December will come and nothing will happen because there's no one and I don't hook up with strangers as a rule most of the time, except for that one stripper in Vegas.
Most of the time, except for that stripper in Vegas.
Yeah, and that one football player. But whatever. Okay, like
which
two.
I was also there for, but it's okay.
You were? No, you weren't. You weren't there for the football player.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, were you? Is there one I forgot? Okay, so tonight we decide, because we're so inspired by Live Aid.
Yeah, we are. We've been watching the entire Live Aid concert all weekend since we went to go watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's honestly embarrassing a little. We're singing in the room. Okay. So, and by the way, we don't even have the same hotel room. Like, I'm like, Renee, come to my room so we can sing together.
Yeah. Kate goes, can you come over? And I'm like, yeah, what for?
To sing.
So we can sing and watch Live Aid. Bitch, what?
You guys got to watch it. All right. So tonight I'm like, Renee, let's go to karaoke. By the way, we had a great show. Come see us at the Reno Laugh Factory. So I'm like, let's go to karaoke. I know this bar. It's like a dive. I went there last time. It's really fun. They stay open all night till like 5 a.m. So we go there. Mm-hmm. We walk in. We sit at the bar. You guys, the bartender is so hot. Like, so hot that I couldn't make eye contact with him for more than like 10 seconds because I felt like he knew I was undressing him with my mind.
Right. I made eye contact with him.
So, okay, so we sit down at the bar. I'm telling you guys, from jump, this guy was giving me like super flirt. Like, he was totally flirting with me. He's a former football player. He moved here for business. He's just like so hot. It's crazy. And he was super flirting with me. I'm so happy all night. I'm like, this guy is into me. Okay? We trade Instagrams at one point. Did you trade Instagrams?
No.
Okay.
We traded phone numbers.
You got his number? Okay. So
tells you how hot I am, Kate.
So like,
you got Instagram. I got his phone number.
Well, I don't give my number out. That's why. Okay, whatever. So we hung out at this place, by the way. We said, let's go for 1 hour.
1 hour turned into like 3.5.
Yeah, we stayed a while. So I go to the bathroom at one point. I come back to the bar and Renee's like, hey, when we get back to the hotel, I got to tell you something. And the way he said it, I was like, oh my God, he's going to tell me this guy was like, yo, what's up with your friend? She's hot, blah, 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 whatever. And I got excited. So now fast forward and Renee, you go ahead and tell the people what you told me.
Well, I told Kate that I said, you know what? I don't know what the deal is with this guy, and I can't figure it out.
That's not what you said.
Well,
tell them exactly what you said in the street.
I said, hey, Kate, I think this guy's gay.
Yes.
And you were like,
devastated.
Why? I go, because he kept giving me shots and drinks on the house, and he kept asking me if I wanted another one on the house, because he kept like motioning to me, like, don't worry about it. I'm not going to charge you. Like, it's on the house. What male bartender is going to offer another male patron that's at the bar free drinks? You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so, like, okay. So he's giving you free drinks, but this is what we're trying to figure out. You guys, Renee and I both think he was into us, okay? I think he was into me. Renee thinks he was into him. So we sit at the bar initially. I bought the first round.
Right.
For me and you. It was
exactly
like $15 or something. I gave him 20 and said, keep it.
Right.
Okay.
Now, and Kate, I will be honest with you, and you can attest to this, and you can agree with me, that we probably had all together, out of all the drinks that
not
we had.
Not a lot. Well, I only had two.
Okay, but he was giving me doubles. Remember when he said that? Because he told us that. He goes, I was giving y'all doubles. We had, our bill should have been at least 75
No
bucks.
Way. We're in Reno. Okay, no. I ordered two drinks for me and one for you.
Right.
And you had how many drinks?
Well, he gave me like three doubles on the rocks. Whiskey.
Okay, we need to tell them the whole story, okay? So, first of all, you said to the bartender at the beginning, you said, I'm not going to sing karaoke unless I'm drunk.
Right.
And I said, get him drunk.
Right, and he goes, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
But why would he do that?
Well, listen.
Not charge me anything.
To keep me there. I think he was trying to keep me there.
So he was going to give me a discount? That doesn't make any sense.
No, he was going to keep giving you drinks so that we would stay.
Yeah, but at the end of the night, what was my bill, Kate?
I don't know.
I showed it to you.
I didn't look. I don't remember. What was it?
It was $12. $12.
Huh.
He only charged me $12 for the entire night. So come on, you guys. Be with me. Like, listen to that. If a guy's trying to get to a girl, you think he's gonna give me a bill for $12 and he's gonna give me?
But he was flirting with me and he was staring at me, and every time you were singing, he was staring at me. And then also, I said,
"Oh, okay. Well, then, see, I didn't notice that."
And I said, "I really have missed playing guitar on this trip." And he said, "I play saxophone." And he said, "I have lots of friends who play instruments. I could hook you up with a guitar to play for."
And then he did.
Okay, he offered me a guitar. First of all, secondly. Maybe he was giving you drinks because you said, yo, man, you should come to her comedy show this weekend. I'll totally
hook
you up.
Okay, I did invite him
tickets.
To the comedy show, you guys. I did invite him to the comedy show for this weekend.
Which is a cock block for me, by the way. Once he sees how crazy I am, he's never going to want to date me. And this guy's beautiful. He could be potential boyfriend material. And he's far away, which is perfect for me. And he's not in entertainment. The reason I bought the first round of drinks for us, for me and you, is so he'd know we were friends. And then you kept on hugging me. He probably thought we were dating. That's why he was giving you free drinks. He didn't want to intrude on our romance.
No. Okay. All right. Maybe I got a little touchy-feely. But I was not cog-blocking you for that particular reason.
Renee, when he gets a little buzzed, he's not a perv. He's not the handsy guy trying to hook up. No, he just hugs you
Kate,
a lot.
Kate, you know what? You're right. I just like touching and hugging and being emotional and going, hey, I like having fun. You know what, Kate?
I know.
You were absolutely right. But if I did cog-block, that's no reason why he was going to continuously give me free drinks.
If he was gay, okay, let's just pretend for a minute.
Okay.
That he was gay.
Let's pretend.
Well, I don't think he is, but let's just say he was. Don't you think gay guy, bartender, would maybe be like when I go to the bathroom, be like, hey, ma'am, what are you doing later? Like,
okay, well, maybe I forgot to tell you that we made out at the bar. But my thing is that this.
Now I'm going to cry. All right, well, then you win.
I'm kidding. We didn't.
Did you ever see him look at my ass when I walked away or anything?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm trying to figure out if he's gay or not.
No.
All right, you know what, Renee? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. When he comes to the show, we're going to both try to flirt with him and see who he chooses.
I don't want to flirt with this guy.
Well, you seemed really excited when you thought he was into you. You're like, he bought me so many drinks.
Well, I feel bad. I feel obligated that I had to hold his hand or something. I was like,
because he bought you drinks? He's a bartender. They
Kate,
always buy you
no,
drinks.
No, no, no. Kate, he bought me one shot. He bought me a beer. And he gave me a double Maker's on the Rocks for free.
No, he didn't.
Kate, then why was my bill $12?
Because I paid for one of your drinks. Maybe two.
Kate.
All right, fine. Guys, the point is this. We're going to figure out if the guy's gay or not.
Yes, we are.
This has never happened to me before because we both left the bar like, oh my God, that guy was so into me. Both of us. So basically my point is I was thinking maybe I think Saturday night is December 1st.
Right.
And I'm like, perfect. He's coming to the show Saturday night. I don't usually have one night stands, but it's been a long November,
right,
and there's reason to
believe. And you've
believe.
Been doing a no-deep November.
Yes, and can I just say, by the way, this is not my crush that I was talking about, but this is very exciting. I wrote a cover of A Long December called No Dick November, and I posted it on Instagram, and Adam Duritz left a comment on it that said, hey, Kate, it's really eerie. Those are almost exactly identical to the lyrics I wrote for the song before I changed it to Long December. So that kind of made my No Dick November a little happier.
Right. And if you don't know who that is, you need to Google it.
He's the lead singer of Counting Crows. I think people know.
Well.
Anyway. All right. So the moral of the story is there's a possibility that my No Dick November could come to a close if... Wait a minute. I know he's straight. There's one other thing that happened. Oh, he's straight. He's definitely straight.
Okay, then tell me.
Okay. There was a moment at the bar where he said...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said he played football in college. And I said, what position?
Totally gay.
No. What? Shut up. Shut up. He said he played football in college. I said, what position? And he said, receiver. And I said, you're kind of big for a receiver.
Receiver.
Shut
I
up, Renee.
Oh.
Shut up. I said receiver. Or he's a receiver. And I said, you're kind of big for a receiver, which he is, because he's like really, really ripped, like muscular, like big. Receivers are usually a little thinner.
I guess they are. I don't know.
I really analyze. I analyze this very closely. So then he said, well, I'm built a little different now than when I was 21. And then Renee goes, did you hear that, Kate? He's built now. And then I got really uncomfortable. And then the guy goes, dude, why are you saying that? I wasn't trying to be like that. He got embarrassed because he's into me.
Okay, you know what? That's true. He did get embarrassed. You're right.
Thank you.
You're right. He did get embarrassed.
I win. He's straight. Okay, it's on. Ooh, I'm so excited. So now I have someone to flirt with Saturday. He probably DM'd me by now. I haven't looked at my Instagram. Mm. Anyway, so that is what happened tonight, and we solved the mystery, and we didn't have to compete for him, but I am going to tell him you thought he was gay. So that's definitely going to happen.
All right, Kate.
All right.
We'll go with that.
All right, well, I'm glad we did this. And that's really it. That's what I had to say tonight. I mean, do you have anything you want to add?
No. I just can't wait to see what happens after this weekend because I want your listeners to, I want to know what they think. So.
What do you mean what they think? Well, either he's going to make out with me and he's straight or I'm going to jump off the roof of this hotel.
Well, I hope he makes out with you then because I definitely don't want to watch you just jump off the roof of this hotel.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's really weird. Like this has been a weird trip. Like I suddenly want like male attention. I don't know where it came from. It came out of nowhere. I think it's because I looked at it's because I looked at an ex's social media.
Oh, I know, and I told you not to. Do
I know
that.
You should never look at your ex's social media.
Don't ever look at your ex's social media ever.
I don't know why I did it. All I have to say is this. Okay, I want to say one thing. I wanted to do a bit about it, but it bombed, so I can't. And I understand why.
Okay.
People feel sorry for addicts. But listen, I have to say something. I have dated a few addicts, okay? And I have gone through addict phases myself. And here's what I have to say. I'm really tired of people being addicts and then destroying someone's life, like their lover, like literally treating someone like complete garbage with the excuse of, I have this addiction, this disease,
right, which I get.
Okay. But like, here's the deal. If someone punches you in the face, you know, and they're like,
it sounds like it hurts.
Yeah. It hurts. Yeah. I would assume. I haven't been punched, but slapped but in a sexual way. But
yeah, right.
If someone punches you in the face, okay, and they go, oh my God, I have anger management issues. I need help. I can't believe I punched you. I've never punched anyone before. What the fuck is wrong with me? I'm going to go get help. And they go get help, and they never punch anyone again. And then they post on Facebook, guys, I'm 100 days without punching someone. And it gets a million likes. I don't think that, you know, we should celebrate that they ever punched someone, but I'm cool with, hey, you changed and you haven't punched anyone since. And as long as you never punch anyone again, I'm on your side. Okay. But here's the thing. If that person, listen, if that person punches someone again, okay. And then the second time they're like, oh my God, my punching addiction is back. I got to go back to punching therapy, anger management. So then the next time they post on Facebook, they get a million likes again. Well, what about these poor bitches they're punching?
I know.
So my point is, I'm angry because I'm tired of seeing guys that I dated that were addicts, and then they get sober for the 8 millionth time, and then they're like, I'm so happy, I'm sober, I'm so grateful, I'm sober, and they get a million likes, and all their followers are like, way to go, good for you, team wizard, whoever.
Right.
And then I'm over here like, hey, motherfucker, how many chances do you get to be praised? Like, what about all the cars that you lit on fire on the way to rock bottom?
And I gave this motherfucker two chances and he punched me in the face twice.
Yeah. I mean, I've been an addict, okay? I've been so high. I fucking lit guys' cars on fire. Not literally, but like might as well have. I don't expect people to feel sorry for me or applaud me when I stop lighting cars on fire.
Right.
So my point is this. I'm mad. Like, I really, and that has bothered me on this trip because I looked at this motherfucker's social media and like, of course, everybody's all, ooh, good for you. And I'm just over here like, fuck you, man.
That's why you got to leave the social media alone when you're on the road.
I'm trying.
You do you and you do your social media and you don't look at anybody else's social
media. I only look when I'm on the road. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, because you ain't got nothing to do because you're in your room and then you're going, hey, maybe I'll look at my ex's social media. Fuck that. You can't do that, Kate.
You're right.
You cannot do that. You have to just move on and totally block it.
Well, I'm trying. I'm doing pretty good.
Me, you are.
For the most part.
For the most part.
I've been doing so great until tonight. Whatever. All right. So that's my speech about addicts. Just, you know, one chance. It's like buying people, you know, eight wedding gifts. Like after marriage, too. Sorry. No more gifts.
That's true.
You know, are you buying somebody a fucking piece of china for their third marriage? No. You're like, bitch, you got all the china I can afford.
No. I'll tell you what, when somebody gets married, I buy them divorce shit, like a new bed. They're like, why are you buying me a new bed? I go, because that shit ain't going to last but a couple of months and you're going to need a new bed, trust me. And I...
You're a great wedding guest. You buy them divorce shit.
I do. I buy them divorce
shit. Renee puts a prenup in the wedding box with the gift. He's like, I know you haven't filled out the marriage license
like,
yet.
Registered at Target. I was like, I know you're registered at Target, bitch, but I want to buy you a fucking bed. At fucking.
Renee's like, I paid for your divorce lawyer in advance. That's what you get from me. You're great. I'm not inviting you to my next
That's
wedding.
That's what kind of a fucking badass motherfucker I am. Anyway.
All right. Well, I think we covered a great amount.
I think
we actually
did
great. We did a really good job.
Yeah, we did.
And you know what? We're gonna get together tomorrow, and we're gonna answer some listener questions.
Yeah, why not?
We wanted to hop on this in the moment, guys. So,
all
right. Good night.